Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
At the mention
of your name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that you are Lord.
You are Lord. 'Cause at the mention of your name,
at the mention of your name, every knee will bow,
every knee,
every tongue confess,
yeah,
that you are
to bow, and at the mention of your name,
every knee,
every tongue confess,
you are Lord.
Yes, you are. Oh, 'cause Jesus, you are Lord.
Oh, oh,
it's just that easy. Jesus, you are Lord. Yes, you are.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
your sound is so sweet.
Jesus,
you are Lord.
Oh,
yes, you are.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus, you are Lord.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh,
and at the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are Lord. So at the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are Lord. Say Jesus,
you are Lord.
We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Father, my God, we just thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We adore you. There's none as holy as thee, O Lord. We thank you for the air that we breathe. We thank you for the air in our lungs. We thank you that it's in you we live and move and have our being. We thank you, Father, my God, for you are doing great and marvelous things. We thank you for enabling us to cross into this new season. We thank you, Father, my God, that you are doing no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. Father, my God, we're grateful. We're grateful for your love. We're grateful for your joy. We're grateful for your peace. Father, my God, King of kings, Lord of lords, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We have so many reasons to thank you. So many reasons to praise you. We thank you, Jesus, for you are Lord, you are King, you are creator of everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we adore you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, we praise you, Lord. We praise you. We commit this time into your hands and we say, have your way. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we've made it into a new season and we're truly grateful. Some of you have dragged yourself over into the new season. Some of you are thinking we're in a new season. What's going on? Yes, we are in a new season. All things have passed away. And, you know, I want to read some things about the new season, you know. I'm reminded of Moses in Exodus when he got to the point of the Red Sea. And yes, it was the beginning of a new season, but when he crossed over to the other side, it was like, wow, they have made it. The Egyptians, they've seen their enemy defeated. They have made it. Now, you might not feel very much like that. You might not feel like you've crossed over to the other side. You might not have glanced back metaphorically to see that the enemy has been defeated. But you know, it says in Exodus 15, the song of deliverance, that Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has thrown both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my victory. He is my God and I will praise him. He is my father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. Yes, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and armies he has thrown into the sea. The very best of Pharaoh's officers have been drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the bottom of the like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, dashes the enemies to pieces. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrew those who rose against you. Your anger flashed forth. It consumed them as fire burns straw. And it goes on, you know, and they sang this, you know, in verse 11 says, who else among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is glorious in holiness like you? So awesome in splendor, performing such wonders. You know, it talks about the might of God, the glory of God. a lot of things that God has done, and they spent that time giving thanks. The chapter before, they were afraid, and then they crossed over. Then they saw, you know, in Exodus 14, it says, when all the Israelites were on the other, Exodus 14, verse 26. When all the Israelites were on the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back over the Egyptian chariots and charioteers. So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea. The water roared back into its usual place, and the Lord swept the terrified Egyptians into the surging currents. The waters covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. Of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, it was not a single one survived. Now here we can see that what Moses did, you know, he was instructed to raise his hands unto the Lord, and the sea parted. Then it got to a place, they crossed over to the other side, and he was told to do the same thing. So there's something in the key that God has given us. The thing that is used for victory, we need to use, you know, keep, it can also be used to close the mouth of the enemy. So if God has given you the key to praise your way through, keep praising, because not only will it make a way, but it will close the mouth of the enemy. If God has said you should fast, keep fasting, because not only will it make a way, it will close. So you can see that the same actions, the same things as Moses was instructed to do to make a way, he was told to do to close the way. So there's something really poignant in that. And I want us to really, really think on that, like the importance of listening and obeying God's instructions. Now, one of the things that can get a bit muddled, can get a bit bent and bruised in a season where you've just been pressing it in, is relationships. Relationships can get, when you're pressing in and focused, you know, sometimes you might forget about friendships, a close, personal, special one, your spouse. Not that you forget about them, but you don't give them that dedicated time. So what we need to do is endeavor to address that. Yes, when you're pressing in, you might be really focused in, but when you've come out of that season, you need to start connecting, because we need, you know, as it says in the scriptures, where two or more agree on a thing, there it is. We need those agreements. We need those connections. Now, I'm going to go to one of the first relationships that was mentioned. You know, and I'm going to look at Genesis 2. And it says that, Genesis 2, and I'm going to talk about from verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and care for it. But the Lord gave him this warning: you may eat freely of any fruit in the garden except the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you will surely die. Okay? Because God had made man. In his image, he had made man. All right? Then it goes to 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. So though the Lord had made, and there was that communication, as we can see, God had communicated his desire. Because even before that, he'd asked him to do some things. But we're going to go on to this. It wasn't just Adam placed there and that's, you're on your own, love, off you go. There was that relationship, that connection. Okay, so 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a companion who will help him. So the Lord formed from the soil every kind of animal and bird. He brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And Adam chose to name a name for each one. So God had created Adam, place him, and then he created, he says, it's not good for man to be alone, and he made a companion to help him. So the Lord formed from the soil every kind of animal and bird. So that companion, that relationship, and he says he gave names to all the livestock, birds, and wild animals, but still there was no companion suitable for him. So the Lord God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. He took one of Adam's ribs and closed up the place from which he had taken it. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought it to him. At last, Adam exclaimed, she is part of my own flesh and bone. She will be called woman because she was taken out of the man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two united into one. Now, it talks about, because let's even look at this. God wanted Adam to be have a companion, have a connection with another living thing. And this is why I said it's important about our friendships and things like that. They're very, very important. So if you feel that you've not been as attentive, or you've neglected, or anything, connect again. It's very important. And we can see that was one type of relationship with animals and birds. And you can see the fascination there. Adam named, etc. I'm going somewhere because some of you are thinking, what is she going on about? And then it was about, God even said that, you know, you need someone that was like, that was similar, that was constructed the same way. So he put him in deep sleep and brought out woman and brought her to Adam. And it says, at last Adam exclaimed, she is part of my own flesh and bone. She will be called woman because she was taken out of man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two united as one. Now, at that point, there was no, because some of you be saying, but there was no father and mother at that place. You know, because it was Adam and then Eve. But it's talking about, you know, what even happens now. There's a connection. Now, God forms and equips men and women for various tasks, but all these tasks lead to the same goal of honoring God. So these relationships that we have, we're going to start with spouse, okay? He, God has formed and equipped men and women for various tasks, but the tasks are supposed, the center of the task is supposed to be honoring God. Man gives life to woman, as we can see, and woman gives life to the world. So because we can see here, because some of you might be thinking, how is that? But it does say that God took the rib and closed up Adam and created out of that rib. So the man gave life in his way, it's part of it, the woman, and the woman gives life to the world. Each role carries a specific task, and none is above the other, you know, none is higher than the other. God gave marriage as a gift to Adam and Eve. They were created perfect for each other. Marriage is not just a list, just for convenience, nor was it brought about by culture. It was instituted by God. And we have to remember that, that marriage in of itself is instituted by God. So when we want to know how we ought to do our marriage, how we ought to do that relationship, we need to connect with God. Now, there's some things that are, we can say are the same, but there's some things that are not the same. There's some things that are similar, but some things that are not similar, because no two people are the same. No two people are the same. But what we need to do is actually connect with God and connect with each other, because God knows each person. So, and why do I say that? Is because my marriage to Pastor is going to be different from somebody else's marriage, because we're not the same people, but the fundamental tasks will be similar. Okay, and we're going to look at these things, it's not a set of rules and regulations and lists. It's not a set of rules and regulations. No, it's about that commitment, honoring God. If we keep God in the center of it all, it will actually make it perfect. It perfects. I like the one it says, the two becoming one flesh. Now, when we look at that, that is a process, because it says becoming. It doesn't say the two becomes. It's a process. To become is a process. It doesn't say it's instantaneous. We're not going to look at something and say, wow, this is like, it's one flesh. You don't say, I do, I've done, and one flesh. No, it's a process. It's a process. Day by day, year by year, processing and getting to that place and becoming that one flesh. If we're honoring God, that means, if you look at a triangle, there are parts, two points of the triangle, and I want you to look at two points of a triangle and then put it, everybody's facing towards that point that is not accessed. As you're going on and on in the journey, you will get your, and that point is like you're endeavoring to reach, honoring God, focusing on God. When things seem world apart, as you're going on the journey, you become closer and closer and closer, not only to God but to each other. So everything is about looking at the Lord. If there is disagreement, look to the Lord. If there's agreement, look to the Lord for the direction of what to do, what to say, etc. Now, we're going to take a break because I don't want us to rush this, etc. But we're going to take a break, and after the break, we're going to look more into this. We'll be back after the break.
Mighty One, Mighty One, we worship You. Yes, Mighty One, Mighty One, we worship You. For I've tasted and seen Your goodness, and I stood in the power of Your presence. For I felt the depths of Your mercy, and oh, how Your love, it always surrounds me. Oh, Mighty You are. We worship You.
Strong and mighty You are, Lord.
Mighty One, Mighty One, we worship You. For I've tasted and seen Your goodness, and I stood in the power. Your goodness, and I
Welcome back, welcome back. You know, we were talking about the two becoming one flesh and listening to that music. And I get a sense that for some of you, you know, when we were talking about Exodus, you haven't started singing the song. And I know I'm going back to that, but it's something that, and it's almost like you're sat at the edge, you're exhausted with a river that you've crossed. We need to look up, look up, look up, look up and see how far God has brought you. Don't look at, wow, the journey's yet so much. Don't look at the fact that maybe you're waiting because you're waiting for the sea to cover the enemy. Just look at the fact the Lord has enabled you cross that far. Some of you that are studying, you've completed year one. You know how many people didn't complete year one? You just have to take a breath and say, thank you, God, that you enabled me to complete year one. Some of you have started a new job and you don't need to do any more interviews. Thank God. You know, you're a bit nervous about the new job. You're not sure, but thank God you've got a new job. Some of you might, you're about to cross into a season where you're there thinking, I'm not sure. Don't look at your own ability. Look on to God. Look on to God. Look on to God. And He will direct your path. Because it's new. New. And there's some things we cannot use what we've done before. You know, I know I mentioned about Moses using the same strategy, but that's what he was told to do. He didn't say to himself, you know what, I'm going to do that all by myself. That's what he was told to do because he had such a relationship with the Lord. And that's why we need to foster and to grow, to develop these relationships. Some of you might be thinking, even my relationship with the Lord, I love him, but it's a bit like, oh, I'm not sure about my prayer life. I'm not sure about my worship. I'm not sure. Do it regardless. Do it regardless. Even if it feels a bit like just rabbiting along, just saying it. Do it regardless. Get yourself in that position and look up to the Lord. Your spirit man, after a while, will realize and ignite with the truth that you've made it thus far and it's Jesus that has brought you and he's carrying you further. And he'll give you a different strategy. I remember sometimes sharing with you that there was sometimes that I used to connect with the Lord in my sitting room. And then I was there, get up, pray in my sitting room. And it was, wow, wonderful time. Then one time, it was like, it was there, nothing's happening. I was continuing the car, going on to the way to work, and connect. Sometimes I used to go for a walk, connect. It changes. It changes. So don't be like, always because of this, that. It changes. Ask the Lord, and he will direct you. He will direct you because he's our first relationship. You know, he's the most important relationship. And so that's why when I said that, you know, we've got 3 points in a triangle. If the husband and wife this are in two different points, if everybody's aiming towards the one point which has God in it, the further you go up the line, the closer you're going to get to God, but closer to each other. So we just need to look onto Jesus. We just need to look onto Jesus. Now, it does say in Genesis 2:24, the two become one flesh. Now, God's mathematics is not our type of mathematics, because when we put 1 plus 1, it doesn't equal 2. We're not taught that it equals we're taught that equals two, not that it equals one. But that one is a completion. That one is where your strengths will cover that other person's weaknesses, and their, you know, their strengths will cover your weaknesses. It's like two sides of the same coin. If we look at a lot of coins, they're not, each side has got different pictures. It looks different. It might have different writings, but it's the same coin. So it's something that God is using to complete. I like looking at it that the weaknesses, that the gaps in the fence, that other person's strength will cover your gaps in the fence. And so when everybody's working together with one purpose, then it's closer and tighter, so it's hard for the enemy to come through to the core. Okay, and in the core is everything everybody's working on. Okay, remember, we are made male and female in God's image and a reflection of His glory and His goodness. Together, as you know, in that relationship, it becomes one, and God said it's good, because He said it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good. And He made the animals and the birds, and it was like, no, but there still is no companion suitable. So it's that which is suitable, you know. And don't expect the suitability to be that you have the both the same strength. Oh, I'm very good at this. Well, that's good. Because if you bring your strength to the table and they bring their strength, you think, wow, we've completed it. And it's that working together and that place where that connection that is not seen anywhere else. Now, I remember and I was sharing with someone that I had to learn that there was some things the Lord stopped speaking to me directly and started speaking to Pastor, and I got bent out of shape. But I realized it was the Lord did it deliberately, because we had to learn when we first got married of how to become one. They didn't need to tell us both the same thing, so that we would connect together and work together. And to God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, I believe I learned the lesson fast. Fast. Because the Holy Spirit has a way of some people will say ministering, asking me a question to get me to think about it. And I thought, oh, okay. Align with the new season. Because sometimes, you know, with the new season, we have this fairy tale of what we think is going to be. You know, sometimes people think, I'm going to start a new job and it's going to be wonderful and everyone's going to appreciate me and this is going to be so smooth. And then when you get there, after a while, you think, wow, okay. It's good, more is expected of me, but some things are still the same. Note to self, you are still the same, and you carried yourself there. So there's some things that you need in yourself in a new season, in a new place, to actually say, Lord, teach me how to adapt to this season. In a relationship, you need to ask the Lord to teach you how to adapt, how to change, how to transform in that relationship. In a job, you need to ask, don't be overwhelmed, because overwhelmed is fear. Say, God, teach me how to adapt, how to change for this. For, you know, it's like when you get your new a car, your first car. Sometimes, even when you get a new car, you can feel a bit nervous about driving it. You then start thinking, you get in the driver's seat and you're there thinking, I'm not sure how to drive. No, you do know how to drive. You do. But it's, Lord, teach me how to adapt and how to change and how to be transformed in this new season. Because sometimes we can start speaking negatively about and then what happens, those words then, remember I spoke about it, the seeds go down and they come up in due season and we start seeing the fruit of them. So I want you to ask the Lord to help you in this. Now, I know I'm going back to the two becoming one. You know, the Lord said it was good. This was new for Adam. It was new for Adam because he'd been, we don't know how long he'd had the animals and birds. It doesn't say it was for 1 month, 2 months, three. We're not sure. It doesn't say that. But it does say it was after a while. Everything was made. And then Adam named them. God gave them to Adam to name. And then, but he looked and said, none of them are suitable. They are companions, but they're not suitable companions. And then the Lord made woman. Okay. And then the Lord made woman from the rib and brought her to Adam. And Adam is at last. Adam exclaimed, she is part of my own flesh. So God said it was good. In there, there was no, we can look at it, said in verse 25. Now, although Adam and his wife were naked, were bare, neither of them were felt any shame. Though they were bare to each other, exposed in every shape and way, there was no shame, there was no embarrassment, there was no like, wow, okay. Now, we can, you know, start off right with that no shame, and things do happen, and it's how we recover from things. So you can be in a new job trying to develop friendships and connections, aspects that you may see occurring and reoccurring, you have to ask the Lord to help, you know, and then help you adapt and change for the new. And in a relationship, you have to ask God in every new season, because even though everybody has done I do, it doesn't say like as a plateau, you know, as age increase, as children come, as jobs change, as health change, as things change in life, because you might have met at age, let's say 30. You're not going to stay 30 all your days. You're not going to stay on that same pay packet all your days. I pray not. I cancel it if anybody starts staying on the same at 60 and still in the same pay packet as 30. No, come against it. No, you're going to be promoted from one level to another. It's how to rise and how to live so that you adapt and change for those things. You know, now things do happen. Things do happen because even in a marriage, because we're living in a broken world. You know, but if everybody is looking unto Jesus, there is nothing that cannot be mended. Now, if we look at this relationship of Adam and Eve. Now, when that creature came, the serpent came, and questioned Eve. Now, someone did say that, you know, I've heard quite a few sermons, etc. Some say, oh, Eve was at fault. Why did she listen to the sermon, to the serpent? Some people say Adam was at fault. He knew he should have been watching Eve. Regardless, it happened. What do we learn from it? And one of the things that I want us to actually learn from it is that even though they blamed You know, it says in Genesis 3:12, yes, Adam admitted, it was the woman you gave me who brought me the fruit and I ate it. Even though Adam was there, said to God, is the woman you gave me and I ate the fruit. Then the Lord God said to the woman, how could you do such a thing? The serpent tricked me, she replied. That's why I ate it. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this and he cursed, you know, he said you'll be in the dust, etc. Now, then the curse came. Now, what was, you could say, out of this, they weren't punished separately. They didn't say, right, I'm going my way and you're going. They were taken out of the Garden of Eden together. And to the point, next time we see is that if we look on, it says, after banishing them from the garden, the Lord stationed mighty angelic beings to the east of Eden with a flaming sword flashed back and forth, guarding the way to the tree of life. Now we've gone to Genesis 4. Now Adam slept with his wife and she became pregnant. Now with all that has happened, you know, he didn't ask for this, that, none of they worked on becoming one and brought life and brought family. So regardless of things we go through, we need to ask the Lord to help us. There's some things it's easier to, I don't want to say get over than others, but there's some things it's easier to push through than other things. But one thing, they had the Lord. If God is on our side, one thing, they had the Lord. So regardless of whether the communication is a bit like stilted or not, build back that communication, build that connection, because, you know, pray together, speak together, communicate together, because this is useful. Because it does say in another scripture, one will put 1,000 to 10,000. Remember I said God's mathematics doesn't mathematics, because when we've done 1,000 plus 1,000, we were all told it was 2,000. So how does it put 10,000 to flight? How does a 2 become 1? It's not so straightforward. One is a process of wholeness. One is the strength coming together and empowerment that it can create a great force together. So anything that wants to have that, for want of a better word, discord, we need to actually think, right, God, in your mercy, hear us. In your mercy, hear us. Now I'm going to go to Genesis 9, verse 25 and 26. Sorry, not Genesis. Romans. I'm looking at Romans. I'm saying Genesis. Romans 9. Okay. As he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. So we need to, in everything, cry out to God, because he is the one that's making us his children of the living God. Remember I said it's that thing about keeping God at the center of it all. Keeping God at the center. If it's a friendship, you know, we've looked primarily at marriage, but if it's a friendship, keep God in the center of it all. Because excuse me, some friendships develop to like almost like having a sister, almost like having a brother. There's a closeness. Keep God in the center of it all. Some friendships, you know, just God uses to put things to flight. So it's very important and needs to be guarded. So anything happens, on the contrary, I encourage everybody to look unto Jesus. Because sometimes when things happen, if we're looking unto Jesus, we'll know what to do in that situation. So that we're not doing what our flesh tells us, but what God is asking us to do. We've come to the end of the program. God bless you for listening. God bless you for tuning in. God bless you in this new season. Yes, things might not seem as it looks, but you're in a process. You know, we looked at Moses after they'd all crossed over. They must have sighed in a process. The relationship, husband and wife and spouse, in a process of becoming one. There's a process. So just thank God for where you are and look forward for the things to come, because every relationship is a process. Father my God, we thank you. King of kings, we praise you. Lord of lords, we adore you. Say there's none as holy as you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you're yet to do. We surrender everything to you and we say, have your way, Jesus. Have your way. Take full control. Take full control. Let your peace, your love, and your joy fill the atmosphere. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. We have a Starbright seminar on the 1st of November. Please, please do come. Highfield Pavilion. We're going to be putting information on Eventbrite. And we're going to be looking at faith in this season. We're going to be looking at faith in this season. Because some of the faith we need to use to wait. And some of the faith we need to use to press forward in a new way. Until next week, have a blessed and glorious week. And bye for now.